Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Everybody remembering or familiar with that verse? 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. We'll try to continue what we started last Sunday night. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration means God breathed. It's given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine. Notice, we don't need to get rid of doctrine. Because the Bible is profitable for doctrine. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. That doesn't mean sinless. That means mature. If you want to be mature, you get in that Bible right there. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now, let's go to the Lord's Word prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, tonight. Thank you, you have your Word. Thank you, you got that promise. It's been preserved and inspired for us. We got a copy of it in front of us. Thank you, Lord. Help us not to take it for granted. Lord, help us to read it on a daily basis. God, know that it comes straight from your throne room. God, this is the Word that you have us to have. God, thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, let me go over just a few things. Last Sunday night, if you weren't here, we went over a few things. You may want to get the CD or the DVD. I think it's out there. And basically went over basic information about the King James Bible. We here at Old Hill Baptist Church are a King James Bible church. Now, that does not mean that other people, visitors and different things come in and they use other things or they bring in other things, and that's fine. We don't Bible check at the front door. We don't have a metal detector when you come in. If you come in with something different in King James, the metal detector goes off. We don't have that. You come in, you use whatever you'd like to use. But we're King James here, and what I wanted to do, we've got so many new people, that I want you to know not only if we use the King James Bible, but why we use the King James Bible. That's important. And so last week we showed some verses that had been left out. We had shown several different things. We showed some things about the New King James. There's a mark on the front of the New King James right there, the New King James New Testament. And there's a funny looking mark on that one. I also have another one. This was put out by John MacArthur. And it's a New King James. And the mark is not on the front, it's on the inside cover. And you'll see that little mark right there. And it's a New King James. And don't be deceived. King James and New King James act the same thing. It's a little different. And we got NIV, we got all kinds of stuff. Children's Living Bible, and the New American Standard Bible. And we got everything. New American Standard. Anyway, I won't say that. But anyway, what I want to do is go to a different avenue and show you how we come up, or I didn't come up with it, but how God, through His infinite divine providence, inspired that Bible that we hold in our hand. It didn't happen by accident. God oversaw the whole thing. And so I'm going to go over a few things, and if we have time, we'll show you a few of the verses at the end. But what I do want to show you is where it all started. Now, let me give you for instance. Moses. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. God wrote them with his own finger. See that up there? And so God breaks it down with his own finger. Moses is up on the mount there. He comes down, and they've been elected the new pastor. The associate pastor done took over. The associate pastor done went to a contemporary style worship service. They've made a golden calf. They put it in the front. And so the communion table, they have a golden calf down there. And everybody's taking their clothes off, dancing around that thing to all this junk. That's what the associate pastors will do to you if you take off on them. And, that's my friend, but anyway, that's why I only do revival just shortly. I come back real quick, because when you come back, you never know what you'll have to find. But when Moses came back, he had the original what? The original copy of the Ten Commandments. He came down off that mountain, his face got red. He saw what they were doing. He threw those Ten Commandments down and broke them into pieces. Guess what? You know what God just did? God just broke out into a sweat. He started wringing his hands going, I can't believe Moses destroyed the only copy that we had.
Yeah.
What am I going to do now?
Right.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you have a copy of the Ten Commandments in your Bible?
Yeah.
Well, if Moses destroyed those original copies, how did the Ten Commandments get in your Bible?
Right.
There was another copy.
Right.
Hallelujah. And so God says, hey, come here. No, well, this is what he told him to do. Yep, Moses got some mad. And God said, take two tablets, call me in the morning. Anyway, Mark, it was funny that way. He got him two more tablets, went up there, and God gave him another copy of the same thing.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question. Inspiration does not end when the originals are gone. If so, God's not as awesome as we think He is. Because we say we believe in eternal security and that we believe that God can preserve our salvation till we get to heaven. But you'll hear preachers that believe in eternal security if He will preserve our salvation when we get to heaven. But He just can't, He's just not powerful enough to preserve His work.
Yeah.
He's powerful enough to get you to heaven and secure and preserve your salvation. But He's not secure and powerful enough to and preserve His word. He just can't do it. And so you'll see a lot of people say, well, we believe the Bible is inspired in the original writings. Well, can I say this? You ain't never seen a copy. Neither have I. And if you ever hear a preacher, including me, stand behind the pulpit and say, well, now in the original Greek, this is what it means, he's lying to you because he ain't never seen original Greek. And if I ever told you that, I'd be lying to you. There are no original. They wrote the originals on the animals, lambskins. That's what they call them. They don't last forever. And when they disintegrated, then the originals were gone. But you say, uh-oh, what did God do? Well, I'm going to tell you what He did. Let me tell you what He did. God instituted or described signature or scribed scripture. And what they would do before that original autograph would disintegrate or pass away, they would make an exact copy. They would make an exact copy and preserve that copy so everybody, hey, if we only had one copy of the Word of God, I'd be up here having it, and you out there in the pew would have nothing. And so what those scribes would do in the Old Testament, they would make copies. Here's your one. They'd make an exact copy. Here's your one. But notice, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, okay, they probably made a mistake. No. Watch this. If they made a mistake and messed up on a certain page, they did not just take an eraser and erase the word and just fix it. They threw the whole thing away and started over.
Right.
When they came to the name God, Jehovah, when they wrote that name, they would throw that pen away.
Right.
Go take a bath and come back and finish writing.
Yeah. Right.
You imagine Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God. Well, let me go take a bath. Created heaven and earth, the earth without form and void, darkness on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God. Well, let me go take another bath. You know how long it would take to make. This is how meticulous they were. It wasn't just haphazard. A bunch of committee members says, hey, let's revise the King James, and a bunch of non-educated folks that think they got an education because they got something hanging on the wall just got together and said, hey, we got to do this. No, my friend. These gentlemen took it personal when they were writing and preserving the copy of God's Word. They took it very, very important. And so you come down to the New Testament. The Levitical scribes in the Old Testament, they preserved the Old Testament copies in Hebrew. Then when it comes to the New Testament, guess who was given the copy? The men of God over the churches were responsible for preserving and making copies for everybody of the New Testament. And so this is how it was done. Now, you're saying, what has all happened? Well, I'm going to tell you. There are two schools. One school was in Antioch of Syria. And in Antioch of Syria, you'll find the law of first mention. The first mention in the New Testament is in Acts chapter number 7 or 11. 11, it says they were first called Christians where? I think that's pretty good heritage, don't you all? Antioch of Syria. You see all these manuscripts. Now, I know they look like song books, but you're going to use your imagination. These are manuscripts. These are copies of copies of copies of copies that the church has preserved as pure and perfect copy of God's Word right there in Antioch, Syria. And guess what? There's another school. And the other school is in Alexandria, Egypt. Down here, you see down here, Alexandria, Egypt. Now, in your lap, you've either got a Bible that came from Antioch, Syria, where we were first called Christians, or you've got a Bible in your lap that came from Alexandria, Egypt. And over here in this school, Alexandria, Egypt, the law first mentioned, it says in the Bible, Abraham sojourned down into Egypt. He did the will of God. Went down to Egypt. The Bible says that Egypt is a place of bondage.
Right.
Y'all help me. Moses and the children of Israel were in bondage to where? Egyptian bondage. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I don't want a Bible that comes from Egypt. I want one that comes from Antioch, Syria, where we were first called Christians. And so these two schools, now let me tell you what happened. I think I'm going to tell you what happened. In Alexandria, Egypt, there was a man by the name of Origen. Now, I can't say his last name, so I'm just going to call him Origen. He was a great philosopher. And he thought that, let me tell you what he believed, or didn't believe. He didn't believe in the Old Testament miracles. He did not believe in the Holy Spirit. He did not believe that Jesus was God. Origen believed in reincarnation. Origen believed in Mary worship. Origen did not believe in the Genesis account of creation. He was an evolutionist.
Right.
And he had a school over here in Alexandria, Egypt. Egypt. Philosophy.
Right.
And this is what he did. What? Two schools? Origen said, all his school, his students, he said, I'll tell you what we need to do. Can y'all go and make a trip to Antioch and get us a copy of what they have at their school, what they use? And tell them that we want a copy for our school. So his little brother come over here like this. Hey, we got a school down here in Alexandria, Egypt. We're a school just like y'all. We believe the Bible. And we want a copy of the preserved word of what y'all have so we can use it in our school down in Egypt. God's men go, well, that's fine. We'll make you a copy. They made them a copy. Here they go. They go traipsing off. Y'all with me? Y'all still with me now?
Yeah.
They go traipsing off down here. They draw them back to Origen. Origen says, okay, this is what we need to do. Come on, put these up here. This is what we need to do. Origen says, this is what I believe. I don't believe in the Genesis kind of creation. I don't believe Jesus is God. I believe in Mary worship. I believe in evolution. And so what we need to do. We're correcting. Well, see, they don't know everything.
Right.
Them boys down there in Antioch, they don't know everything. We do down here in Alexandria, and we're going to mix in what we like.
Yeah.
Now we've fixed it. We've made it better. Is everybody with me? I'm telling you, you'll get something here in just a second. Now, what happened was, Origen and his men took these, corrected, and they came up with the Vaticanus, was written in 400 AD. The Vaticanus was found in the Vatican Library in 1481. That's where it was found, or when it was found. It was written in 400 AD when the Alexandria school was up and going. In spite of the extra condition, it omits Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 46:28. Why would you think it omits Genesis 1:1? Because the teacher don't believe in creation. He believes in evolution. So he mixed it in. He wrote the Vaticanus. Vatican, what does that sound? Roman Vatican. Vatican Library, and so on and so forth. The Sinaiticus was written in 350 AD. Watch this. The Sinaiticus is a manuscript was found in 1844 in a trash pile. in St. Catherine's Monastery near Mount Sinai by a man by the name of Tischendorf. He goes to this visiting to Mount Sinai, and he goes to, "Where y'all going?" "Oh, we're burning some old manuscripts that they say is no good." "What are you doing that for?" "Here, give me what you hadn't burned." Well, it's in a trash pile for a reason. But he takes it out. They write the Vaticanus, the city Vaticanus. Now you're saying, "Preacher, what did they do next?" Well, it goes on for a while there. And then what happens? In 1604, January 1604, the Hampton Court met John Reynolds, went to the King James. King James was not a homosexual.
Amen.
If he was, he shouldn't have let Romans 1 go. He should have said, "Y'all ought to do everything you want to but take Romans 1 out of the Bible."
Right.
But he wasn't, because he left it in because he believed.
Right.
Anyway, that's their story. 54 men started out. Some of them died, some of them got sick. He wound up 47 men in 1604, started in three different companies: Westminster, Cambridge, and Oxford. Three different companies. A group of them got over here, a group of them got at Westminster, a group of them got over here in Oxford, and they began to translate the Bible. Some of them started the Old Testament, some of them started the New Testament, and then they would swap.
Right.
And then in 1611, this is what they would do. Let me show you what they did. There's 5,250 some odd manuscripts. Some are good, some came from Antioch, some came from Alexander, but they're all mixed up.
Right.
So when the King James translators got the manuscripts, y'all with me? They got all the manuscripts at their disposal. And they began to compare. Now, 95% of these manuscripts all agree.
Right.
There's about 5% of them that don't agree because they come from Alexandria, Egypt. So what the King James translator starts to compare. Okay, that's good. Oh, this one's got actually 37 left in it.
Right.
Let's see. All of these match. All safety. Jesus is God. Yes, okay. Daniel 3:25. A son of the gods. Okay. Let me see. We're just getting the ones that match.
Right, yeah.
Because this one right here has got, this one here has got the child's parents. This manuscript says Joseph and the child's mother. This one says his father and his mother. This one right here don't even have Genesis 1:1. Let's see. All of these seem to agree. What else? Yeah. Oh, look. Isaiah chapter 12 changes the is Lucifer to the morning star. Oh my goodness. This is called the received text. The majority text. They threw out everything that looked Alexandrian. They threw everything out and they kept what all agreed with one another. All these agreed with one another because they came from the same town. Those didn't agree because someone just snuck it in with pure text. So when the King James translated, they called this the received text. They began to translate from the received text and they threw them aside. Then we come up. Watch. Y'all ready? They started in 1604. The King James Bible comes out in 1611. Somebody tell me how many years is that?
Seven.
The words of the Lord are pure words. The silver tried, the ferns of earth purified. I'm about to get inside.
Yeah,
the oldest Bible that we have in my life.
Yeah.
Not my life, but anyway. Now, what's your thing? 1611, King James Bible. It's done the trick.
Yeah.
It's what? Hello. King James Bible had the Geneva Bible. Geneva Bible, the first one, it had chapter and verse markings in it. Geneva Bible and the King James Bible came over on the Maple Island.
Yeah. Yeah.
What this country was founded upon was a 1611 King James Bible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's done the trick, it's done the test of time. And then all of a sudden, in about 1853, two men came on the scene. Everything's fine until these two men come on the scene. The first one is Brooke Foss Westcott. The other one, Fenton John Anthony. John Anthony Hort. These two men. You say, preacher, what happened? Well, these two men is what didn't like this King James Bible. You know what Westcott and Hort believed? This is what they believed. What? Westcott was a firm believer in Mary worship, did not believe in the resurrection.
Yeah.
That's why they leave parts of Mark 16, the very end of it, out when he talks about Jesus' living. By the way, can I make you mad real quick? You remember the Passion of Christ? They don't show the ascension. They don't show the resurrection. They just show a last clip of him standing there and the screen goes off.
Yeah.
Good movie. I watched a couple times. But I'm just telling you. Hort believed in keeping Roman Catholic sacraments. Hort believed in baptism and regeneration as taught in the Catholic Church. Hort rejected infallibility of Scripture. He took great interest in the works of Charles Darwin. With both he and Westcott rejected the literal account of creation. Why? Because they studied at Alexandria, Egypt. Westcott did not believe in the second coming of Christ, the millennial, literal heaven. Both men rejected the doctrine of hell. Do you remember what I showed you last week where they changed hell to Hades or hell to the grave?
Yeah.
That's found in those blues over there. Change hell. You will find hell in those because the origin didn't believe in that. What? These guys didn't either. They refused to believe in the Trinity. They didn't believe in angels. That's these guys. So what happens is, this is what happens. In 1881, ready? We're almost done, hang on. 1881, these two guys go to the Church of England and say, hey, we need to revise the King James Bible. They said, that's fine, as long as you use the correct text. They said, okay, we'll agree to that. They get behind closed doors and they go, here's some stuff that the King James translators threw out.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't know what we know. They was uneducated men. They didn't have what we have. We need to update this thing. So they took this, which is the corrupt text from Alexandria, Egypt.
Yeah.
And they went in. And in 1881, they come out with a revised version. The revised version of 1881 consisted of the part that the King James translator picked up. The reason they kicked them out was because they were no good.
Yeah.
Westcott Hort says, oh yes they are. That's what we believe.
Yeah.
And so they took these, mixed it in with the text, and we come out with the 1881 revised version. Then after that, it wasn't satisfied. 1901, American Standard Version. 1946, Revised Standard Version. 1950, the New World Translation. That's Jehovah's Witness Bible. 1965, New American Standard. Got a copy right there. 1965, the Amplified, the Living Bible. 1973, the year I was born, New International Version. Got a copy over there. And then in 1979, the New King James come out, and so on and so forth. Let me ask you a question. Well, look at this one. 2001, the Holman Christian Standard Version.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you about the Holman Christian Standard Version. Y'all ready? There's one thing we didn't do when we put these seats in this building. We didn't allow for seatbelts. Buckle your seatbelt up just for a second. Southern Baptist Convention in 2001 took mission money from the Cooperative Program and had the Holman Christian Standard Version published.
Amen.
Anyway. Now, let me ask you a question. This is just a logical question. I don't know much, But I do know this, in 1881, Westcott and Port, their premise was we're correcting and fixing the King James Bible. Now, if you didn't fix it in 1881, and you didn't fix it in 1901, and you didn't fix it in 1946, or 1950, or 1965, or 1967, or 1973, or 1979, if you didn't get it fixed then, let me ask you a question. You guys, or you ladies, everybody in here that's got a job in the morning, you're going to a job, if you work a factory, whatever you do, let me ask you a question. If they tell you to do it this way, and it takes you, there are over 300, almost 400 versions of the Bible since 1881, 400 versions of the Bible since 1881, or maybe possibly more, if you couldn't get it right and 400 tried, would you have a job tomorrow? Well, then why are we letting these guys get away with claiming they've got something perfect? They're going to correct all the mistakes in the Bible. And they haven't done it yet because why? The love of money is the root of all evil. And if I can come out with a new version, hey, I'm going to tell you, y'all want to pay for this building off? I know how to do it. We're going to come out with the Holy Hills Revised Version. But let's just say we found three mistakes in the King James Bible. Let's say we found five King James Bible mistakes. There are none, but let's just say we found five. And we say, all right, we're going to fix those five mistakes. We're going to get a copyright, because to make money, you have to have a copyright to set up a bookstore. And we go to the copyright table and we say, hey, we fixed these five mistakes, can't be filed. We want a copyright so we can make money so we can pay off the building. This is what they say. You can't get a copyright. Well, why? We fixed what we were. I mean, it's not the same difference. We fixed it. To get a copyright, you have to have more changes than just five. So now you have to go back and change stuff that don't need to be changed.
All right. Amen.
To get a copyright. All the nuts, watch this now, this is profound. All the nuts are not in the nut house. Somebody said they're in the White House. I don't know. Secret Service, if you're listening to this recording, I didn't say that. It came from the moral side out here. If they can't get it right, now listen, folks, I'm going to be honest. I believe King James Bible is the Word of God. I do. And did you know something else? After 1881, let me see what's next. After 1881, now watch this. I did some research this afternoon. I was researching the old-time revivals. I'm not talking about revivals in cities, and I'm not talking about Azusa Street and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about revivals that shook continents. I'm talking about revivals of D.L. Moody days. I'm talking about revivals of Billy Sunday days. The last revivals that known by Billy Sunday in the 1900s, or early by the 1900s. 1901. D.L. Moody died in 1899. Charles Spurgeon died in 1892. No continent shaking the line since the new versions came out. Now the facts are facts. New American Standard. I got let's see what time we got. New American Standard. I have a copy right here. New American Standard. This is what. And listen, I'm not. I'm gonna name drop. Okay. So, and he's a good. He's a good fellow. Charles Stanley, First Baptist Atlanta. Good fellow. Uses the New American Standard. But if you'll notice this, when he steps out from around the pulpit and begins to quote, he quotes King James.
Amen.
Because the Bible says you hide His words in your heart. He can't get away from what he learned. You don't see many people quoting these other versions because they're hard to learn. They're hard to memorize. The New American Standard Bible. One of the fellows that was on this particular committee was Frank Logsdon. He was the co-founder of the New American Standard Bible. People began to confront Mr. Locks about the New American Standard Version series of omissions and errors that I've been showing you here the last Wednesday night. This is what he said. It's in parentheses, or quotation, this is what he said. I must, under God, denounce every attachment to the New American Standard Version. I'm afraid I'm in trouble with the Lord. I wrote the format. I wrote the preface. His preface is in here if you want to look at it, signed by him. I'm in trouble. It's wrong. It's terribly wrong. It's frightening wrong. The deletions are absolutely frightening. There are so many. Are we so naive that we do not suspect satanic deception in all of this?
Yeah.
Dr. Frank Hossack, that co-founded the New American Standard Bible. God started dealing with his heart.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, folks, you say, oh, preacher, it's not a big issue. Yes, it is a big issue.
Yeah.
Because I get calls, people, if I put, and I'm, look, God gets the glory.
Amen.
God gets the glory. But if I went to every church that called me to come do what I'm doing here, I'd be fired. From here. I can't go. Somebody, these preachers are not telling their people.
That's right.
The truth.
That's right.
About God's Word. And they don't know. They think Westcott and Horton were great church fathers. They think Origen. Y'all want me to make you a real man now? Y'all see this right here? This is the Westcott and Horton 1881 Greek text that they used to come out with the Revised Version. Here it is. And I mean, I went and bought one. I couldn't find this one. I used to buy those at yard sales and Goodwill and things like that.
Because
I don't want to give the birds any more money.
Amen.
But I went to a place, a college, a Baptist college.
Yeah.
And I bought this Greek text because this is what they use to teach their Greek students.
Yeah.
Amen.
I went to Union University in Boston.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. No doubt.
To the bookstore. This is what they teach.
Right.
The Westcott. You're not mad enough. This is what they teach, what these men wrote.
Right.
And their copy.
Yeah, right.
What those Bibles there are all based on is that, and the ones that the King James translators threw away, all of it goes in the same pot.
Right.
There's one Bible that came from the majority text.
Right.
That's the King James Bible.
Yeah.
Now, you don't have to believe what this preacher's saying. You don't have to believe it. You do your own research, whatever. But I'm just telling you, the facts are here, folks. We need to love and study that Bible right there. Now, it's almost time to go. But I'm going to tell you, do not be deceived. I got to tell you about this. Hang on. Y'all got a second?
Go ahead.
They come out with the goodest news, or no, good as new, 2004. Good as new. Y'all with me? Y'all with me? Y'all too busy reading. You're not with me. 1 Corinthians 7:2. King James Bible says, every man had his own wife. Would y'all not amen that?
Yeah.
And it's always best just to have one.
Amen.
If you get caught with two, you let us sleep for 1 hour. Let me take the back. Good as new, 2004. Everyone to have a regular partner.
Love God.
Yeah.
Defiling the marriage.
Yeah.
Now, I'm treading a little real lightly because we got young folks in here, but you adults know what I'm talking about. Good as new. Do that in full. Good as new. 1 Corinthians 7:9. Better to marry than to burn.
Yeah.
Burn with love. It's better to marry than to burn with love.
Yeah.
Good as new. You have strong knees, get yourself a park. Good as new. 2004. Brother Jack, take his glasses off. He's like, New King James Version, up to that mark, I showed you. I got two of them over there. It ain't the same thing. Bible says 2 Corinthians 11:14 says that no marvel for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's done great thing that his message, or minister has also been transformed into ministers of righteousness. Isaiah 14, Satan says, I will be like the Most High. The New King James wants to be like this. But it just ain't gonna make it. It has transformed itself into an angel of light. But you can't match it. Things that are different, not the same. We gotta go. There's a lot we went on right before. It's a cultic look of some shadows. There's the crowd, there's the DSI, PLD. Mark, we have Mark kept a CD in his car. This is that. PLD right here, see that symbol right there in the center? They're old, PLD right there. Same symbol that you used to keep. New King James, 22 omissions of hell, 23 omissions of blood, 44 omissions of repent, 50 omissions of heaven, so on and so forth. Term devil, damnation, Jehovah, and New Testament are completely omitted. Not in there. The preface King James Bible, or New King James Bible says this. The only thing we changed is the D's and the vowels and got rid of all the old Elizabethan English.
Yeah.
I think Jehovah is a pretty good word.
Yeah.
I think God, heaven, repent, blood, and hell are not old Elizabethan terms.
Right.
I don't have time. I really don't. But they changed the D, thou, and ye. They changed D, thou, and ye in your King James Bible. They changed that to just a simple you. They lose the second person plural, second person singular. If I was talking to, I can be talking to you, or I can be talking to you. And if I say you, unless I do a hand gesture, you don't know if I'm talking to the group.
Right,
or I'm talking to a singular person.
Right.
So in the New King James, you lose that. You don't know if he's talking to plural or singular.
Right.
Watch this. We gotta go. New King James. The Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and laws? Watch. It looks like he's talking to Moses. How long do you refuse? Watch this. King James Bible. The Lord said to Moses, how long refuse ye?
Yes.
If it starts with a Y, it's plural.
Right.
If it starts with a T, it's singular.
Right.
Now we know from the King James Bible that he's talking to the people and not Moses.
Right.
How long you refuse ye?
Right.
It wasn't Moses who wasn't keeping the commandments and the laws. It was the people that
commandments
and the laws. You don't have time to turn to John chapter 3. Man of Pharisees, that Nicodemus. Talking about you must be born again. He says, that he was born of the water, out of the flesh, that I see the kingdom of God. Marvel not. He's got Nicodemus standing in front of him. Ready? Marvel not. I say unto thee. If it starts with a T, it's singular. Marvel not, I say unto thee. Who's he talking to? One singular person, Nicodemus. Marvel not, I say unto thee, Nicodemus. Ye must be born again. He wasn't just talking to Nicodemus about the ye. He's talking about everybody's got to be born again. New King James says this. Marvel not, I say unto you. You must be born again.
Amen.
Singular, plural, don't know. In the New King James, he could have just been talking to Nicodemus, and he's telling Nicodemus he needed to be born again and not us.
Right.
So, if you got a New King James, only Nicodemus needs to be saved, not all of us. If it starts with a T, it's singular. If it starts with a Y, it's plural.
Right.
Anyway, we got time for all this.
Go ahead.
Oh, New King James. King James says, upon this rock, build a church, gates of hell shall not prevail against you. New King James. And I also say unto you that you are Peter. Notice that change to you, that you are Peter. And upon this rock, I will build a church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against you. How many of y'all have ever been told to go to Hades? I mean, what is that? Well, nobody knows. Hey, guess what? It's not a translation. It's a transliteration. New King James didn't even translate the Bible. They took the Greek alliterated word from the Greek letters over the English letters and made Hades out of it. Do you understand Hades? No, but when you say the gates of hell, the lost world knows what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You tell a lost person, hey, you'll get saved, you're going to Hades. How bad is that? We gotta go. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, King James. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his crazy, crazy. New King James, 1 Corinthians 15, 55, much clearer. It's much clearer. Much clearer. King James says, O grave, where did I sing? Somebody quote. O grave, where's your victory? O death, where did I sing? This changes it. O Hades, where's your victory? Makes Hades the grave. That matches Jehovah's Witness. That matches Alexandria, Egypt. That matches Origin. He didn't believe in that. So every opportunity he gets to change hell and Hades, he's going to do it. Or change hell to grave. Or change Hades to grave. Or change grave to Hades. As long as you don't believe in hell, that's fine. But this is a whole lot, it's much clearer, right? That change repent to relent. That change repent to remorseful. Hey. Repent and remorseful ain't the same thing.
Right.
Judas Iscariot was remorseful.
Yeah, right.
Still with Hades.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Anyway. There are several things I go over. Here's one question, man. New King James, but now having been set free from sin, this is kind of ridiculous. Being set free from sin and having become slaves of God. Now, how can you be set free from sin and be a slave of God? King James says you should be free indeed. Watch. King James says this. You become servants of God. A slave is a slave because he has to be. A servant is a servant because he won't.
Right.
Anyway, we ain't got time for that. King James, much clearer. New King James has it much clearer. That's a judge to vindicate. One syllable, vindicate. Three syllables. Thoughts, one syllable. Anxiety, four syllables. Fat, what? John, your verdict.
You favorite.
No outburst from the crowd, please. The deep, the abyss. You're fifth grader. Is he going to know what the deep is or the abyss? Did. D-I-D. Did. Now, how did the New King James translator come to the word did and go, you know what? We need to make that easier to understand. So they changed it to perform. Judgment hall. Pronatorium. I don't know what it is. Deputy. Deputy. Proconsul. Who knows? Vote. In Acts 27:30. Vote. That changes to skip. How would you come to the word vote and go, hey, we need to make this a little more easy for people to understand? Votes. All the nuts ain't in the nut house. And things that are different are not the same.
Right.
And the King James Bible is the Word of God.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump.
Right.
Now you've got to make a decision. Whether God kept his promise or whether he didn't. I so happen to believe that he kept his promise, and he kept his promise to preserve the kingdom of God. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight. Lord, I hope and pray it wasn't boring. I hope and pray that somebody got something out of it. I hope and pray it's been beneficial. God, it doesn't do any good to believe the King James Bible if we go home, lay it on the shelf, and don't read it. God, I pray that you would prick our hearts. Yes, we do have the Bible. And now that we know that we have the Bible, the perfect Word of God, we will want to hide those words in our hearts that we might not sin against you. God, I pray that you'd help us for that now. Save that one. That'd be somebody here not saved. They need to be saved. God, I pray that you'd help them now. In Jesus' name we pray. All will stand. Just a verse.